The best coaches in the game, haha, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision. We got...
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek. I got my man season-long says here, breaking down everything we need to know about the season-long redraft, best ball, dynasty format, whatever you need. He's got it. What's up, season-long says?
And, what's up, man? And today, you know me, my favorite position. I love talking tight ends, and that is what we are here to do today. I have just finished... finalize my tight end rankings for 2020, and I will be, obviously that'll be a living, breathing document, but we are getting ready to post them up. We did quarterbacks last week. I know how much you love the tight end.
Your love for the tight end is legendary. Legendary. It's known far and wide. This is not a new situation here. So,
well, I mean, look, people all over fantasy leagues are acknowledging that the tight end position deserves a little bump. I mean, we're seeing a exponential growth of tight end premium leagues where tight ends get more than the standard 1 point per reception, or you're forced to start two.
That is absolutely the case. TE premium, just like Superflex, the tight end position, much like the quarterback position, was often ignored in the past. And it's been risen to prominence by, you know, I was just in a league where it's forced to have two TEs. They called that TE premium. Obviously, other leagues are taking the tight end position, giving them a PPR boost, 1.5 points, boost up the position. It causes you to have to be forced to consider taking the tight end earlier and earlier than what might have been in the past, where weight on tight end was a similar approach to weight on quarterback, where you just said, you know what? None of these guys are that great outside of the first two. I can wait for a bit. Now, I do want to mention something from last season, a bold call. And it's funny when you bring it back up, everybody's like, yeah, everybody knows that, but it wasn't the case. So last year on your tight end rankings, you had none other than Mark Andrews, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, ranked massively. I think it was like...
I had him at 6 overall when he was the consensus, like 14.
Yes. Massively higher than every other ranking. Now, I have to tell you, your call on that, your bold call, caused me to have Mark Andrews on pretty much every season-long team that I drafted. Why?
And you sneaked him from me in Dynasty, too.
I did get him from you in our Dynasty League, and essentially... I was able to get him in the third round of our rookie draft. Okay. So instead of taking some bullshit rookie in the third round, I got Mark Andrews, who today, where would he go? In not a rookie draft, in a startup draft.
With a tight end premium, with a tight end premium value, or just a regular start one tight end?
Even if it wasn't a tight end premium.
Tight end premium, I would say, in a regular start one tight end, he would probably be the second tight end off the board in my rankings. I'm sure people would have Kelce and Kittle ahead of him, but if I would say a short, he's probably going in a non-super flex one tight end startup, probably the fourth or fifth round, and that's too late. We're getting him in the third every time.
Kelce's old. So...
still productive.
The point is, I was able to pick up what is essentially like a high-end first-round rookie pick type level, like in the late third. It's just it's a level up for your team when something like that happens. So the reason I bring it up is not just to pat on the back a really great call, because we've had bold calls at every position that smashed last season. We hope to do that again. But to mention that there is another bold call waiting for you in the TE rankings from this program. So you're going to see a shocker in the top group that top you'll 10. Be able to get whenever the fuck you want. That should be a potential difference maker on your fantasy team this season. So stay tuned for that.
And by the way, what's great about Mark Andrews is even though like he had this great season, 95 targets, he was the best target on his team. I mean, you could still get him in Dynasty League. You could still trade for him. Like you couldn't trade for George Kittle or Travis Kelce 2 years ago. Now he's tradable because he's a little bit older, but like you could still acquire Mark Andrews for like a decent price. And the idea is like, get him now before he reaches the George Kittle and Travis Kelce perception market rate. You know, I mean, like it's that's what I'm saying. Like he's heading there. This is the time to trade for him. And what might seem like an overpay today is not really an overpay tomorrow.
100%. And a big component of all of this, Mark Andrews was questionable tag the entirety of the 2019 season. They were limiting his snaps in games. He was 50% snap share a lot of these games. He was coming in and out a lot. Got that Q tag going on. What's going to happen when he's healthy?
Right. Yeah. See. So let's get to it, man. So I posted my tight end rankings today. Is there anything that stands out in the top five for you that, and if you want to see my rankings, head over to DFS Army. We're going to be posting them later today. And is there anything that stands out in there within the top? I don't know how you want to go over this. Do you want to
your top five is pretty similar to what I would call ADP, so we could just go through them real quick.
It's a little different. I mean, you know, okay. I mean,
but it's not dramatic. So we can go through them and notice the slight differences. So consensus number one overall is Travis Kelce. We're talking
redraft.
We're talking redraft rankings. 1 year, top guy, Travis Kelce. No, not much explanation needed here. He's
heading into his age 31 season. Okay. And the tight ends are traditionally a little bit more productive as they, you know, they don't age as poorly as some of the other position, the pass catching positions. You know, I mean, he stayed relatively healthy. He's on a great team. Now here's really the question with Travis Kelce in start one leagues or non tight end premium. Are you taking Travis Kelce? Where are you taking him in the first round, the early second? Because I've seen him fall no further than like 2-5. So I guess where are you taking him is the question.
If he's falling, so that's a really good question because I've seen him go as high as like 1-8 or 1-9.
Right.
I am not an advocate of taking a tight end. I don't even care what kind of league it really is. I'm just not an advocate of taking the tight end in the first round. So, you know, if I need to go alternate, like if I got to get cute with my first pick, I'm not going to take a running back. I'd probably just go for Lamar Jackson at that point and, you know, do that. So I've seen him go as high as first. I think that by the time you are mid second round, that's the spot. If Kelsey's still hanging out, Tyreek Hill is off the board. You know, a couple of names like that off the board. That's when you can pounce. I would pounce on someone like Travis Kelce.
The problem is that like Kelce is likely to outproduce Tyreek Hill in a PPR league. So that's the real question that drafters are facing themselves with because at pick 2-4, 2-5, both of those guys are on the board, Tyreek and Travis Kelce. And you know, like I said, right, in PPR, Travis Kelce is going to have 90 catches. Tyreek Hill is going to have 78, 81.
You want a current ADP of the last 2 weeks where he's going in season long leagues? Cause you will
Kelce,
now,
yeah.
This, I mean, ADP is going to be a little bit mixed in with TE premiums. Like you don't know how all of these leagues are formed, but he is currently sitting at ADP 11 overall going just after Jake.
I don't know what you're looking at. I'm looking at the best ball ADP.
Yeah.
Best ball 10. Yeah. If you pull from May 15th forward to today, Tyreek is going at right on the turn at 12.7. So that meaning not at the 12th round 7 pick, but like between the 12th and 13th pick. And I'm showing Kelce going at the 15th pick. So, so it's right in there. They're almost in the same area, depending on where you want to go. This, if you pull the best ball ADP, this is all one start, one tight end best ball format.
Oh, okay. Wait. So I just changed it here to 12 team leagues. I was looking at all leagues. And that was including 10s. And actually, no, that does drop him a little bit in best balls. But now, again, you can't go with the best ball is such a premium for running back that's not an appropriate measure anyway. It's not the best measure.
I mean, but that's the ADP of real drafts that we have right now. I mean, you could adjust accordingly.
But it's important to understand these are best ball leagues where running backs will get a premium over every other position because that's how best balls work. So I think the best way for us to really be looking is actually by position group, because actually that just dropped Kelce to 19. But nonetheless, he's going first overall. He's your guy that, listen, if you wanted to go alt, because when you're taking Kelce, there's names like Kenyon Drake still available. Like, where he's going to go, you could still maybe get Miles Sanders. You could still maybe get Kenyon Drake. You're talking about premium running backs going after this guy. So I will not do that. I will take the premium running back before I take...
So you're out. You're out on him.
I have no shares of Kelce. I love Kelce. I just don't do that. So I don't like the way my team looks at the when I have a premium tight end in there, and then I have to have kind of two shitty running backs. I don't like the way it looks. It don't feel good. Make me feel sad. Make me feel unhappy. I'm not enjoying my rosterbation period.
Never fun to have your weekly matchup and see Travis Kelce on the other team, though.
No, but it's never fun to have your weekly matchup and see, like, oh, my primary running back is like Chris Carson. So I mean, it's fine, but like, I want him to be my number two. I don't want him to be my number one.
All right. Let's move
there
on.
We go. There we go. Now, this is where your rankings differ just a smidge from consensus has George Kittle number two overall. You've got Mark Andrews kind of slotted in the number two role.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you explain why. I have a pretty good idea, but I'm going to let you explain why Andrews is a premium over George Kittle, even though everybody, George Kittle is that sexy name.
Yeah, I mean, again, we spoke a lot about Andrews at the top, so I don't want to get into this too much, but it's if you want to take Kittle, I mean, he has those monster games, it's perfectly fine, but as we've noted on this podcast many times, George Kittle is happy to be a blocking tight end. They're happy to distribute. And I think, like I said, George Kittle will finish as a top three tight end, but it won't be in season long and non best ball formats. It won't be as even as you need it to be to draft a tight end in the second round. When you're drafting a tight end in the second round, you want that even production, good high end production every week if possible. George Kittle certainly is going to have those 28 fantasy point weeks, but I think he's going to disappear for weeks at a time. And it's just too much of a premium for me. I think, like I just told you before, Mark Andrews is ready to take that next step into that elite tier. And we're going to be talking about Mark Andrews as the tight end one next year. I think that's very possible. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I just, for me, if given the choice and the price, I can get Andrews two rounds later, a round and a half later, that's the route I'm going. So when you're following my rankings, the season-long status rankings that I'm posting up, the Alan Cislowski rankings and the DFS Army rankings that you post, it's that you don't have to follow the rankings in the order. Just use it relative to ADP. Have your ADP sheet out, have your ranking sheet out, and say, oh, wait, this is the next guy. I'm going to let someone else take Kittle, and then I'm going to get Andrews around later.
That's the beauty of value-based drafting. We're providing the rankings of the players, but that doesn't mean that the second Kelce's off the board, hammer Mark Andrews, because you've got a buffer in there of George Kittle. Now, again, I'm going to agree with you. I've talked about this many times about George Kittle. I own him in some dynasty leagues, so I fully have a grasp of what he does. And the issue with the 49ers is they are very content to run the football nonstop if they're ahead, and they are a play defense, run the football team, and they like being that. So while George Kittle is widely recognized as the best overall tight end in the league from a skills perspective, part of that recognition is his blocking ability. He loves to do it, and that team just won't throw. So you're going to have games where he only gets four targets because they won't throw. Now, when they need to throw, he's the number one guy, but they've also added some talent at the wide receiver position over the last couple of years. So going to spread it out. Not a lot of targets to go around, not a lot of bodies to throw to. You know, it's just a volume concern for me with George Kittle. And, you know, that could change one season if their defense takes a shit and all of a sudden they need to throw more. But
yeah, I mean, I don't have any qualms flopping them. But yeah. What else stands out on the rankings as you look down my top 12, top 15? Anything else that...
looking this over, nothing's... So the next few picks, they don't deviate too far from consensus until we get to, you know, you have your Evan Ingrams and your Hunter Henrys and your Darren Wallers here in this next little grouping. Tyler Higbee is a sort of Tyler Higbee is a guy I want to talk about because he's kind of that mid first rounder. You've got him ranked, let's see, number eight. ADP is number seven for him. But essentially, Tyler Higbee is one of the risers this year, and that is not our sneaky bold call. But everybody's on Tyler Higbee. He had a monster end of the season last year. But
well, hold on a second. Let's underline that. It was an all-time end of season. The last 5 weeks of the NFL season.
It was spectacular.
He was averaging over 12 targets a game and over 100 yards a game and over 20 fantasy points a game. So it's not just the size of the sample, it's the magnitude of the sample.
That's what she said.
That's right, baby. Magnitude. What's more important, magnitude or size? It was such a. It's hard to ignore, but really, he's the one they signed to the longer term contract prior to last year. But Gerald Everett was going on a little breakout run of his own prior to Higbee breaking out. And then Gerald Everett got hurt, and to me, I'm trying to square in my head why Higbee. I understand why he's the tight end 7 in ADP. I have him at tight end 8. But Gerald Everett is the tight end 28 by ADP. It just makes no sense to me. I have Gerald Everett quite a bit higher. When I think there's almost an equal chance that he could be the guy in this year. Now, a lot of smart people have projected that both of them are going to play in a lot of 12 personnel, which means two tight ends on the field. But this Gerald Everett was the guy that Sean McVay drafted. He's the one that he earmarked to be his Jordan Reed in this offense. So
there was discussion. Yeah, there was always discussion around this team when both guys were playing. It's like, all right, which is the guy that you play? And I know this because when neither of them were really producing, and these guys would be in NFL showdowns, which are single game formats in daily fantasy, we'd always kind of be between these two guys. Like, well, which one's the pass catcher? And normally it was the lean was Everett as being more of the pass catcher with Higbee more of the blocker. So that was just a sort of a thought process that went over. And obviously Higbee did incredible things at the end of last year. So I would say with all of that and with the mystery of Everett, the question is, did Higbee do enough to establish himself as the top dog? Like, listen, I fucking crushed it last year like never before. I produced elite tight end numbers. And the team said, you know what? This guy is the talent. He's going to be our featured guy. Or was it, hey, just a kind of a coinky dink? The other guy wasn't around and it just happened to be tight end heavy game plans for a few weeks. And, you know, this year we come back and we get sort of this split Higbee Everett mediocre production from both guys situation happening. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that what's happened here is, okay, so they lost Brandon Cooks to the trade or free agency, whatever it was. You know, it's gone. So, and again, you say, oh, Brandon Cooks, he sucked anyway, but he did get a reasonable amount of targets. There was a lot of talk early in the offseason about Josh Reynolds filling that role. That's who I think is the loser here. I don't think Josh Reynolds is any more than a role player. I think that there's room for both Higbee and Everett to profit here. And again, the price isn't that crazy on Higbee. Now, if Higbee goes up to be the tight end 4, tight end 5, now that's a problem. But at tight end 8, it's worth the speculation. But what really is what the value is the Gerald Everett. I mean, he's being literally, you can in regular 16 round draft, you can basically get him with one of the last two picks, but in dynasty, he's the smarter one to trade for because he's being traded for pennies on the dollar. Cause he got hurt and he has in my opinion, an equal chance to produce as Higbee.
There it is. I like it. Now if you're in a spot where, I mean, I just think you should handcuff Higbee with Everett.
Oh yeah, if you can do that, sure.
It's a rare situation where I think that tight end should be handcuffed as well because it's such a good handcuff situation. Now, here comes the bold call, people. We've gotten past the first 8 picks. We've talked about some of the top guys, pretty consensus. Here comes the bold call. Here comes a name that you weren't expecting in the top 10. I was surprised to see it. I want to be convinced about it. So, says, tell me who your bold pick going massively above current ADP, top 10 guy, according to your rankings this season. Hit me with it.
Yeah, and again, I didn't think it was overly that bold until you pointed out, but I have Jonnu Smith of the Tennessee Titans ranked number 9, just below Higbee in my initial offseason rankings. And I can now understand why, you know, you feel because it's not in line with consensus, but It's more about that he had a strong month to end the season. Delanie Walker's out of the way. And then you say, hey, listen, that's a run heavy game, but it's a short passing game. So I think that, I mean, most tight ends, if they show a spark in year one, we're interested in year two. In year two, we expect a nice step forward, but we really expect that tight end breakout to come in what year, Geek? in year three.
Always year three. That's the right. That's the TE breakout
so,
year.
All right. So here we go. Jonnu Smith. He's in the breakout position. He showed the spark that we're looking for. And the veteran guy that was blocking his path is retired. So let's just take that profile.
Delanie Walker, no more.
Right. And the quarterback likes the short passing game. He's not Ryan Tannehill is not known as the deep passer. And really, who's on that team? It's A.J. Brown. So it's not like we have three receivers. We have, that's it. I mean, that's really the only other guy. And the running back doesn't even catch passes. They only have one alpha wide receiver and then a bunch of guys. Why? And again, it's not that like I'm like, oh, my God, Jonnu Smith. That's it. He's the guy. But like he checks all the boxes we like to project him as a breakout. So why not? I'm not saying he has to be your number six or number seven, but like, why not put him inside the top 10? Everything's in line for a breakout. I mean, even if we're wrong, if you get him at tight end 10, tight end 9, you cut him. You don't have to take him before the 11th or 12th round.
This is, again, the beauty of a pick like this. Even though he's ranked number 9 overall
in our rankings,
his current ADP is 17th overall at the tight end position.
Yeah, I mean, people are taking Gronk ahead of him. People are taking Dallas Goedert ahead of him. People are taking
Gronk, make an argument for.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to buy into this philosophy that we're talking about here, you're passing on Gronk. The whole idea of someone like Jonnu Smith is you're going to let the name guys, even if, again, we could talk about them and the merit of them. You're letting all those guys get pushed forward. And when people are taking Gronk in the 8th round, you're grabbing your quarterback in one QB league, or you're grabbing your third running back. And that's what the beauty is. Now, if you're in on Gronk, you're not going to have that luxury. And that's what we like about Jonnu Smith is we're letting everyone go. And then we're taking our what
that's
we think
a beautiful wait on tight end approach. You can get this guy. You can load up the rest of your team with talent. And he'll be your second tight end on your team, no matter pretty much what you do. So, you know, you're pairing up. Essentially, if you've waited on tight end, while everybody else is grabbing, like, kind of mediocre.
Darren Waller, Hayden Hurst, Austin Hooper.
Well, they're grabbing these guys earlier, right? And Hawkinson, right? Like, TJ Hawkinson didn't show shit last year. He's ranked. He didn't show anything. He had two good games. And he had the one good. I know you like. He's my guy. I'm like, I don't know what you see in him. If he's your starter, you're in trouble. But you know, these names like Jack Doyle going ahead of him. You know,
I like Doyle as a late round guy.
He's fine, but right. You know, he hasn't shown that he could produce fantasy relevant performances. He's already 31. Like, come on.
And where you're taking Doyle, if you're taking Doyle as your starting tight end, you're basically saying, I just want to survive week to week. With Jonnu Smith, you're saying, wait a second, I'm going to get a guy here that literally has a chance to finish as the top three tight end.
Now, Jonnu did not have voluminous games last season, to be clear, but he was putting together 5 receptions, 65 yards and a touchdown type numbers, pretty regular. So I don't see him necessarily as the Mark Andrews scenario where we're talking about a 10 target guy.
No, we're not talking about that at all. That is not what this is, a totally different situation.
Yeah, I don't see him, for example, rising to the elite tier of the tight end position, but he's going to hold down that spot for you really nicely.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're drafting Jonnu Smith, you're looking at a mixed of what Hunter Henry does when he's healthy. And then some form of a baseline. Like, you're still going to get those 3 catches for 30-yard weeks, so you're going to have some holes, but there's going to be major weeks where he's the 7 catch for 80 yards and 2 touchdown guy. Like, it's there.
He'll have those explosions. All right, let's move on to 2 tight ends going in different directions.
But by the way, are you with me on Jonnu? Like, you're going to get a few shares?
I'll get some shares because I can get him not as TE8, but because I'll just have him... because he's just going to be sitting there. Jonnu Smith makes people nauseous. No one is on this guy. So you'll be able to get him with your last pick in your season-long league for the most part.
You'll have to take him before that. You will.
He's going late. Best ball, very nice, because he's the perfect candidate for best ball. I think that team in general will produce explosive weeks from position groups, and then it's going to be very up and down. I like everything about the Titans in best ball because of the way that their team functions, how they'll rely on Henry when they can. But there we go. So Chris
said that Jonnu went the last pick of the 9th round. This is a tight end premium league, by the way. So yeah, I mean, you know, he's there
supremely late, and that's a rush on the tight end position that was happening in that league. So you know, there it is. Now let me be. So I'm not. I think I'll have him because he's so above the consensus ranking here. I'll be able to get him later.
It's someone that you want to grab like a few shares.
Well, let me just go to ADP real quick because I'll explain what I mean. I like him better than Hockenson. I like him better than Noah Fant. I like him better than Dallas Goedert. I'm probably similar. I may be Gesicki ahead of him. So, like, my point, I definitely like
him
better.
Hurst? Than Doyle. How about Hayden Hurst?
Well, that's let me get to those two. Okay. That's where we're at right now. So, but my point is I like him better than a lot of the people who are kind of like, I like him better than Blake Jarwin. You know, so these are all good names. I love him better than O.J. Howard. Fuck O.J. Howard. Orenthal James Howard, not my guy. Now, all right, let's go to two tight ends, different teams, interesting situation. You mentioned Hayden Hurst. I want to mention Hayden Hurst and Austin Hooper. Okay, these two guys basically switch teams this season. You've got Hooper on the Browns, lots of talent, lots of target competition there. He was the breakout guy. Now you've got Hayden Hurst stepping into his position in Atlanta. We saw what Atlanta does with the tight end position overall. Hayden Hurst, bit of a bust with the Ravens. Can he turn it around?
I don't think he was a bust.
I mean, he was the first round fucking pick and he didn't do shit. And Mark,
yeah, I mean,
he was a bust with the Ravens. I don't know if he's a bust.
I disagree with that in a sense where like he had a very high catch rate. Anytime they threw to him, he produced. He just didn't get that opportunity because this is what happened. Okay, so sometimes at any job that you that anyone starts, but he was drafted in the first round, and then what happened was they drafted Andrews much later on, and then he just happened to be better than him. So it wasn't that Hayden Hurst wasn't good at his job. They happened to draft someone who was better. It was just like, remember the year that Seattle paid big bucks and signed Matt Flynn, and then they drafted Russell?
Of course. And then Wilson comes in, he looks better, but Matt Flynn sucked. So in fairness, bad example because then that quarterback...
I'm not saying that he has the same skill. I'm just saying that because... if someone comes in is better at your job than you, you're going to get relegated and less opportunities. He just didn't get the opportunities. I still think Hayden Hurst is good. And that's why Atlanta paid a second round pick for him. They obviously agreed.
Well, there it is. That's what I'm saying. When I say about, I mean, like he didn't become the man over there. So now he's moving on to the Falcons to become the man on a team that produces extremely well and has traditionally produced extremely well to the tight end position. So the setup is here. Remember, Hooper was not looked at as an elite talent. He was just elite situation. So
the guy caught everything they threw at him, though. He had one of the sickest catch rates.
Situation. They threw to him a lot. That was it. I mean, he didn't come out and say this is like the fastest, but he was not looked at as an elite talent. He was looked at as an elite situation guy.
Yeah.
So we're going to discover if he's an elite talent. Right now, he's moving to a new team and we'll see how that works out. But Hayden Hurst and Austin Hooper. So how do you rank these two, considering that Hooper has shown the production, he's shown he can do it, but now he's on a new team with a lot of competition for targets. Whereas Hayden Hurst has all of the draft equity capital, has double draft equity capital as they traded the second rounder for him. So double down draft equity, first round pick, second round trade, lots of picks going for this guy on a team that produces. How do you rank these two amongst each other? Because I think that's a massive decision if you've waited on tight end past the elite tier. And, you know, I'm taking both these guys ahead of Jonnu Smith, not going to lie. But personally, I will have them ranked above him on my rankings. But nonetheless, how do you rank these two because of those divergent situations?
Yeah, so I have them back to back in my rankings, 10 and 11. So obviously, you know, I don't have a good argument for one over the other. You actually did a great job of outlining the merits and the warts on both. Both are in new situations. Both have good quarterbacks. If you still believe in Baker, I do. I think you said, you know, Hayden Hurst is, I don't think he's going to do what Austin Hooper did in that offense. When we talked about early season, we went team by team, and I thought that Calvin Ridley would be a beneficiary of some of those vacated targets by Austin Hooper in Atlanta. But I still think, you said, you know, it, when you get into the bottom part of the top 12, Hayden Hurst should hold down the fort for you, you know, 4 catches for 50 yards, 8 catches for 45 yards. He'll have those games. I don't think he'll ever explode for you, but Austin Hooper, what they want to do over there,
Hooper, I mean, for those who don't recall, and it's important to know, Hooper was a fucking beast with Atlanta last year. Yeah. 10 targets, 10 receptions, touchdowns. This guy was producing elite WR1 numbers while Julio Jones was languishing out there, just running around, getting a couple targets. He's just running around, and everything was going to Hooper. So let's be clear. This guy had an epic TE1 thing going on last season for whenever he was healthy and whenever that team was in full up. I think there was an injury at some point during the season. But for whenever he was healthy, it was
he was good.
One he, type numbers. He, I'm talking about number one overall.
He was catching everything. Now, Hooper's going to have a problem over at his new on the Browns. Now, they brought in Kevin Stefanski, who was the offensive coordinator for Minnesota, and he likes to run out the two tight ends, which is why David Njoku is not dead by any means yet. Now, they made Austin Hooper the highest paid tight end in all of football. I don't know if you knew that one, but
I did not know that.
Yeah, so they paid him. So he's going to get his targets. He's going to be a major part of the offense. But I think who actually hurts Austin Hooper the most, believe it or not, is Kareem Hunt on that team. And let me tell you why. Because Kareem Hunt got most of his receptions out of the slot last year. And that's what they're going to do with Austin Hooper. He's not going to line up in line. He's going to be in the slot a lot. So they're going to be using both of those players in that role. Now, Jarvis Landry then would have to be pushed outside if you're going to have both Kareem, because you can't take Nick Chubb off the field. Everyone that's saying, oh, Nick Chubb is, you know, being overdrafted because Kareem Hunt catches the passes. Kareem Hunt caught most of his passes not out of the backfield. He caught them from the slot. So both Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb project to be on the field at the same time. So now if you have Austin Hooper in the slot and you have Kareem Hunt in the slot, what does that do to Jarvis Landry? Pushes him outside. And that's another reason why we hate Jarvis Landry this year, because we don't want an outside Jarvis Landry this year. We want only an in-the-slot receiver.
Let me tell you something. This whole team is a fucking mess of too many targets and too many weapons.
There's enough to go around, but just not for elite production.
It's going to make elite production out of any of these players on the Browns very difficult to come by and very sketchy. Yeah. Specifically, and more, even more so in daily fantasy, where you need pop explosive performances. You can't just have a solid yeoman like performance and expect to get anything good going on. So outside of Baker Mayfield, there are concerns here with volume, you know, and you're right. Kareem Hunt, what's he doing? He's eating tight end targets. He's eating running back targets.
That's the key thing to remember.
Destroying the value to me of Chubb a little bit and a little bit here on Hooper, because they didn't give up anybody. They've just added all of this talent.
Yeah. And then you say, okay, hey, they made Hooper the highest paid tight end. They're going to get him the ball. No, they actually needed him to complete their system. Sometimes you need to overpay to complete your system. And in Kevin Stefanski's system, it's a two tight end system. Everyone's ready to throw Njoku out the window, but we say it every time. We said it earlier in this podcast. How many years does it typically take a tight end to break out? 3. When they drafted him, he was a young, raw tight end. Give him time to develop. This is his third year. He should be developed this year. They obviously like him. They kept him. And the addition of Hooper doesn't necessarily mean they're done with Njoku.
Njoku, don't draft him. Don't draft him.
No. I'm just saying that you could see him. He's been a zero. I'm just saying he's going to have – you're going to see why they draft
him. You know, leave him on the bench and don't drop him, but don't draft him.
But it's part of a bigger ecosystem, the Browns, the whole Njoku thing.
All right, so let's move on to the next sort of area of the draft. I'm looking at your rankings, and I probably have some big discrepancies. This is where I start to run into some of the areas that I kind of disagree with. So right after the Hurst Hooper zone, you've got some names here. You've got Gronk, Gesicki, Jared Cook, Doyle.
Not in that order, by the way. Not in that order.
I'm throwing just the names out there without the order, because So looking at this group, this is that next group. This is like if you've got one of the last tight ends in your 12-team league, these are the names that are sitting there. Okay, you're on the board. It's you've got two bench players already on your team, right? You've drafted your 12-team. You've got a bench running back already. And you've been waiting on tight end. You're like, fuck it, I'm waiting on tight end. I like who's available. You've got Gronk. And so of these names, the two ones that stand out for me, and I think I like Gronk a little bit better than this spot, but you've got Gronk and Mike Gesicki. Jared Cook, I think the worst of the three, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't like Jared Cook either, but it's hard to ignore his production at the for the last eight games. It's just, you know, I mean, I know he's 34 years old, but again, I said this earlier, tight ends tend to age a little bit better than the other pass catching positions. And Drew Brees, as long as he's healthy, likes to fire it into that guy. I mean, if you look at the game log for the last, I mean, you know, not the whole second half of the season, Jared Cook was a major part of that team. Now, that could change, and I don't have him in my top 12. I have him just outside. I'm saying if you want someone that has a chance to actually produce, again, I can't believe I'm defending Jared Cook because I don't even like him.
There's nothing wrong with defending Jared Cook. Jared Cook is fine, and he did have a great end of the year, but he disappears.
Yeah, I mean,
also.
Okay, coming out of the week 9 bye, right? Because I think he was injured the first 2 weeks coming out of that. But even the two, he scored in double-digit fantasy points, including a couple 20-point fantasy games every single week except for one coming out of the bye. So from weeks 9 to the end of the season, he gave you at least 10 fantasy points, and three times he gave you 20 fantasy points. I mean, he's going to be age 34, but he looks like, you know, he doesn't have a ton of miles on him. It's hard to ignore that kind of production. If you take the, yeah, so it's, I mean he's appropriately ranked.
I remember he did really bad the first half of the year for the most part. He had a lot of duds, a couple good games too. A lot of duds.
What happened was the first month of the season, he was bad. Like he was unplayable. He got some target share, but he didn't score more than 5 fantasy points the first month of the season.
That's what it was. Okay. So he kind of, I guess that lingering memory.
Yeah, no, it stays with you, especially if you drafted him. You know, you drafted him because you cut him and then you saw him like blow up on someone else's team. You get bitter.
It's brutal. So, but he's in there with this other group, Gesicki, Gronk. In your rankings here, you got Hockenson there. I have all three of them above Hockenson. I am not a Hockenson.
Hockenson. It's TJ Hockenson.
Hockenson, whatever. He's fucking hoax. He doesn't catch any passes. Listen. I'm not a Hockenson believer. Not this year.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious why.
Didn't show me enough. I get it. Stafford was hurt. Mm-hmm. Not much of a year. It was a weird year. Had one good game. And this guy is being fucking drafted. He's being started in leagues for week after week and just murdering your team. So I'm not a believer in Hockenson. I'm just not. I feel the same with Noah Fant. I feel like these are two hype machines.
Well, Hold on one second. So TJ Hockenson, again, it's not the size of the samples, the magnitude. Had an amazing first game when it's, you know, with a rookie, all we want to see is a spark. And then we could hopefully project a growth in year two. TJ Hockenson is one of the best tight end prospects ever to come in the league. I think that there's where you're drafting him this year, he doesn't have to be a top 5 tight end. You're getting him at pick tight end 14. I have him at 12, cards on the table. Now with Noah Fant, obviously, he had a nice few games to end the season, but look what they did in the offseason. I mean, they loaded up with pass catchers. They added Melvin Gordon. There's no way in good faith. The note in our DFS Army rankings I put is that he's better left to the waiver wire. There's going to be a week in the first 2 or 3 weeks, first month of the season, where Noah Fant is the number one waiver ad, but you just can't draft him. There's too many pass catchers there. So I agree with you on Fant.
Fant on ADP. Now, this isn't your rankings. ADP is going ahead of Hockenson.
Yeah, I have him at tight end 23, Noah Fant.
So you will not have him on your team. He is TE 14 on his current ADP in Best Ball League. So to understand like a difference between ADP and some of these breakdowns, you know, Noah Fant is up there. Hockenson is in the same boat. Now, the guy I'm looking at here, I'm looking at Gronk. I'm looking at Gesicki. Gesicki had a spectacular run to end last year, and he stands out to me. He could be the Jonnu Smith that you're hoping for. I actually think it's Gesicki who showed the most. He's on a team with potential new offense, Tua, you know, you got more excitement. Now, they were a throwing offense. I don't expect more action out of the Dolphins offense under if Tua gets the start, if Fitzpatrick. I don't expect more throwing or any difference in that sense. But he came on very strong.
Yeah, specifically the last 5 weeks of the season, Mike Gesicki averaged 7.5 targets. He averaged over 15.5 fantasy points per game. Amazing, right? Year two, we're looking at the year three breakout. There's no one ahead of him. Absolutely agree with everything you said. Here's the difference is that Mike Gesicki is going to be the guy come draft day that's going to rise up the board. You're going to have to end up taking him in round seven. He's going to be the guy that is the tight end breakout sleeper, and for good reason. There's good reason.
This is who I targeted.
Absolutely. And I agree, but you're going to be fighting the room for him because everyone's all the analysts that have huge followings, including us, we're going to be talking about him as a popular breakout sleeper because he's going to be. I mean, he's talk about a guy that checks all the boxes and set up and is in the perfect spot going to be. So you're going to be fighting the room for him. My personal fantasy football philosophy is I don't fight the room for the hot guy. Once that guy starts moving up, unless it's OJ Howard
last season.
Well, I didn't have to fight the room for him. Like, he was coming at ADP, you know? Yeah. I mean, now, Jonnu Smith is not going to be that guy. I mean, he'll rise a little bit, but you'll still be able to sit back and take him. That's the difference here. I mean, look what's happening in best ball drafts with Diontae Johnson right now. Well, you and I have talked about him. He's moved up into the sixth round. There's no way I'm taking him before round 8 or 9, and we can go into that in the wide receiver podcast, but agree with you on Gesicki. I just think that get him now while you can because he's going to be the guy that jumps a lot of these practical picks at the end of that draft. And I could see him being as high as a tight end 6 or 7 when it's all said.
I mean, if that happens, great. But that's who I had targeted. That's the name that stood out to me because I love the way he came on very late in the season. He's got all the draft equity. Everybody forgot who he was. So, I mean, I think you're in a sharp Your mindset is in like a supremely sharp group of people and you're like almost outthinking the sharps, but I think
maybe we need to move them up a little.
Yeah. I think we want to outthink like the non-sharps first. Yeah. Let's outthink the average player.
Would you take Gesicki over Austin Hooper?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm thinking about it. Yes. I'm going to have Hooper lower than everybody. I don't like his situation. Okay,
I'm moving Gesicki up.
There we go. So, I mean, you do your ranking, but like for me, that's a name that I like more. I think I like Gesicki over Jared Cook.
Yeah, that's what I did. I moved Gesicki to 9, Jonnu Smith to 10, and then I have Austin Hooper at 11 and Hayden Hurst to 12. And you know what that does also? That gives TJ Hockenson, it makes him number 13. And even though you don't like him, it probably makes you more comfortable that he's outside my top 12.
I want you to move him below Gronk, and then I'll feel even better. I want you to move him below Gronk. So, all right. So we've talked about that group. I'm glad that we have you're usually the one convincing me to make a little change in my rank.
Yeah, I mean, here. What's it called?
We'll convince sizzles. I like it.
Yeah, no, that's good. But what's it called? I'm with you on Gesicki. I just, like I said, you're going to be fighting the room for him eventually.
I mean, that's fine. But like I said, I just like he ticks all those same boxes. Third year player, breakout, look great at the end of the season. Like literally that formula that we're always looking for. That's why I was like a little surprised that it was Smith. And when I saw the rankings and not Gesicki, who was flying up that board, I was making money with him, DFS, rolling out Gesicki in lineup super cheap at the end of last season. There was a tight end explosion towards the end of the DFS season where you had Higby at 2,500 one week. You had Gesicki in the 3K range. Like you had these guys who were having great weeks, just supreme. And even Ryan Griffin on the Jets one week actually propelled me into the King of the Beach finals. With an incredible performance. So some of these like low-end names really, really exploded towards the end of the season last year and carried your season-long team if you had started them. So
right, pick one more guy you want to talk about and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah. So let me just jump. Let's talk about Gronk. Everybody wants to talk about Gronk. Let's talk about Gronk and what he could do because the range of outcomes for Gronk is all over the place. It's from TE1 overall to... Meh.
Oh, no.
I mean, we could say not that he doesn't have it in him. I'm not saying, listen, it's the low end of the bar curve, but he's fucking Gronk, right? Tom Brady?
He's not Gronk. That's my point, though. I don't think he's Gronk anymore.
We don't know.
I think there's no denying the connection with him and Brady. There's no denying it. But I mean, when we saw him last, he wasn't overly productive. And then let's not forget, I mean, Tom Brady is not who he was a couple years ago. He is 43 years old. Okay. There's a lot working against him. There's even though you don't like OJ Howard, he's an athletic tight end that Tom Brady is going to enjoy throwing to. When Gronk was on the field, he was Brady's number one target. I know Julian Edelman was there, but you got Godwin. You have Mike Evans. They're going to presumably try to run the ball a little bit more to loosen it up for Brady. I think, again, I like the Gronk pick. It's just that he's going to go. He is the typical go-on-name brand guy that shouldn't be going where he's going. You're not going to get – actually, you might get him. You have that love for him. But
I do love him.
He's going to go as a top 6-7 tight end in most leagues, and I think that's what his ADP is. In my leagues, I will not have him. Not because I don't think he's good, but just because, I just said it before, I'm not going to fight the room for someone like Gronk, who I think you can, you know, you don't want to project injury, but for him, you can project missed games. I think you can project healthy scratches. Say Tampa is a 7-point favorite over like Carolina. I don't even know, you know, when they play. And Gronk's a little banged up. He's going to sit. You know, they have, it's not like they don't have other guys at that position. They have OJ Howard. They have Cameron Brate. They have guys that would be starters on other teams. Gronk is going to be productive at times when he's on the field, but projects more of a red zone guy than a yardage and catch guy at this point of his career.
I just think it's hard to know.
Late stage Antonio Gates.
I just think it's hard to know. First of all, Gronk is nowhere near Antonio Gates' age. He's 31 years old, and he's technically at a strong age for the tight end position. He just retired. Like, what was going on? This is a psychological situation to me more than anything else. Really, why did he retire? Said my body. I want to heal my body. He made a lot of money. He likes to party and have fun, right? But then he sees his buddy Brady. He's like, I'll play with you. But it does feel like a retired old guy situation, where it does feel like an Antonio Gates situation, but he's much younger than Antonio Gates. He's younger than Kelsey. Like, he's the same age as Travis Kelsey. This is not an older guy.
One of them's playing with Patrick Mahomes. The other one's playing with 43-year-old Tom.
No, I know. I totally get it. But it's like, it's a psychological situation. Is he broken down? Or did he take a year off, get mentally refreshed? He's back in the game. He's working out. I don't know. I honestly, this is the mysterious. I think there's risk here, because you're right. He could be a guy that sits, a red zone threat. He comes in, but he's really not in between the 20s. He could be hurt all the time. That is classic Gronk, right? Yep. Aches and pains, doesn't really want to, you know, like, I think the Gates analogy was correct in that form, where they would just bring him in like around the goal line or touchdown to him, but he wasn't out there like churning out yards in between the tackle. Or it could be like Gronk comes out refreshed. He looks thin. He's in great shape. And he's fucking playing the Julian Edelman role for the Bucks up the middle with Godwin and Evans on the outside. And all of a sudden, he's actually getting a volume of reception. It could happen. I'm not saying it's out of the question. We don't know. I think the range of outcomes is massive for Gronk.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you can leave it at that. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you're going to have to make your decision on Gronk. I've made mine. I'm not going to take him until the double digit rounds, and it would be more of a novelty pick in any league where I have real money in. And I'm always going to take Jonnu Smith over there, as we outlined before, guys like that. You know, we talked about Gesicki if he falls. So that's how I'm going to play my tight end game. Or if I go early, obviously I'm going to get Mark Andrews. To close this out, Geek, couple guys that I have a little bit lower in the rankings, but I think are going to be move up for me. And I guess you want to call them sleepers. They're not really sleepers. Everybody knows every player at this point.
No, but I like a sleeper. I like a sleeper. Okay. Who can I get late in my best ball draft?
If you're talking about,
my best ball, my dynasty draft, whatever. Who can I get late? One of my last picks that has the potential to break out as a TE1 for my team.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, three players. I'm just going to rip them off quick. And two of them, my first two are sleepers. The other two is my super deep sleeper. Okay.
I almost want to give one because I think I know who they are. Sure. I know who yours might be.
Dawson Knox and Irv Smith are the two guys that I like super late.
Oh, I'm different. Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah. So those are two guys, young guys. They're in year two, both showed a spark in their rookie year. With all the appropriate metrics, they're both in, I think, in great situations. And I think that, again, we could be talking about them in the top 12 next year, similar to what we're talking about Gesicki. Both of them are pass catching specialists that have no roadblock to playing time. So the opportunity is there. And both of the quarterbacks I like. I like Josh Allen, even though he's not the most accurate guy. He does like the big time target in Dawson Knox. I like Kirk Cousins throwing to Irv Smith, who I think is a really great pass catcher. I thought he would, you know, he's going to be an elite tight end one day. So those are the two guys. And then the super deep guy is one of the old broken down guys. I think you can get him with the last pick of your draft is Tyler Eifert. If he's healthy on Jacksonville, I think he has a chance to be someone. Hey, look, we forgot about Eifert and how good he is. That's it. Who was your guy?
All right. So I'm going to give you two names here as well that I think have a great shot of breaking out and similar. And I like the two names that you mentioned.
You don't like Eifert.
No. No, I completely ignored that one, if you know.
All right, fair enough. All right. But yeah, so, but Irv and Knox for me.
Irv and Knox, yes. Eifert's a no for me. Here are the two. Number one, Blake Jarwin. No competition on the Cowboys for targets for Blake Jarwin stepping into the Jason Witten emptied out role. We know they have a lot of talent at the wide receiver position. But number one, you're getting him super late. And here's the big thing for me. I don't find that wide receivers compete so much with the tight end as they do with the other wide receivers on the team. I think a, quote, pass to the tight end is a pass to the tight end, regardless of how much talent you have at wide receiver. I think Jarwin is being ignored a little bit for that reason, but I think he has breakout potential here.
Well, he was a popular sleeper before the NFL draft, and after the NFL draft when they drafted Lamb, his ADP dropped. So, yeah, I still like the pick of Blake Jarwin for all the reasons that you just said, but his ADP is depressed
because of CD Lamb. I get it.
He went from being like tight end 16 to like tight end 24.
My argument, and that's why I love it. I love how late you can get him. I think he's a valuable tight end this year, but the reason I like it is, again, because I don't find that more wide receivers necessarily cuts into the tight end targets. I think
it's a good logic.
Pass to tight end. Now, the other player I like a little bit, and I think, I mean, there's danger here, is Chris Herndon of the New York Jets.
Sure. I like
that. That Jets offense can produce points to the tight end position. It can. Herndon injured. He's getting injured.
Let's go back a little bit. He looked good his rookie season, and we said this a couple times. We like that anyone who flashes their rookie season, he was suspended coming into year two. Everyone was like, okay, week five, it's the Herndon week. Comes back, ends up in Adam Gase's doghouse, and then he's out for the year. So I love the speculating, but are you really going to draft him in your standard 16 team league?
If it was a deep enough league and I have a really big bench, and let's say it was a team or I needed tight ends in there, I need guys and I need bodies. Yes, I think I'll tell you who I take him.
Denying the upside, by the way.
I'll take him well over Eifert. I probably will take him over Noah Fant. I'll take him over, guys like Njoku and OJ Howard in that group. So,
yeah.
No, am I happy to have? I think Herndon could be a useful Mike Gesicki production level. If he was the guy. Now they have Ryan Griffin over there. Ryan Griffin had a couple good games last year. Never really has shown himself to be an NFL.
He's older too.
He's been around for long enough that like he's just the guy, right? So. Right.
I think the problem
excited about Herndon. If you listen to the Jets speak, they're excited about Herndon.
I agree with you about the upside, and I bought him in a few spots last year. But I think he's got a longer shot. The upside is there, no denying it. But it's a longer trek, especially since he put himself in a bad spot with that.
There is a recency bias because he was a breakout guy last year, and he fucked. Yeah. He fucked everyone. So for that reason, you know, he fucked you over. So it's like, I don't like this guy anymore. You have a bad feeling. It gives you the bad feeling and the heebie-jeebies when you go to pull the trigger because you remember a bad experience you had. It's like when you drank Jaeger bombs in college and like you get nauseous, you get sick from it, you're puking. And then like, it's like 3 months later, you forgot about that. And somebody's like, yo, man, let's have some Jaeger shots. And you're like, something about that just is, I don't think I want it. You know, I don't know why. But something in my subconscious is telling me no Jaeger bomb. Chris Herndon is a Jaeger bomb. After you got sick from Jaeger bombs, 6 months earlier.
You were but at least the original hit of the Jaeger bomb, at least you felt a little buzz. I never felt that buzz from Chris Herndon.
No, you felt the buzz when you were drafting him, and then it was just, it all went downhill real quick. So now you get the willies every time. You know, like I legit get that feeling from Goldschlager.
Why I haven't had that stuff in 25
why
years.
Why would
man.
Anybody ever drink Goldschlager? Okay?
Because the gold chips are in there.
It's just something that's going to make you nauseous, right? And that you, the next time you smell it, you'll just be like, you know. So that's Herndon is Jägermeister.
All right, man. When are you going to put up your rankings, man? The people, you know, people have my QB rankings up on the site. They have my tight end rankings in a few minutes after this podcast. When are you going to put yours up there? And then next week, let's let everyone know that we'll be back with either the running back or the wide receiver rankings, one or the other. We're not sure yet.
All of my right now, you know, I always let you go first so I can steal all of your
fine.
Knowledge
I have no
and your
with
capital.
That. We're a team here. We're a team.
Very important. DFS Army, the draft kit is being populated as we speak. Rankings are going in. Again, quarterback, tight end position in there. We are in the month of June as of today.
Every Monday in June is when we're doing this podcast, just so you know.
You'll have a bold calls breakdown. We're going to go through each position group. We're going to keep talking best ball leagues. We're going to talk changes in ADP as the offseason rolls on. My rankings will be posted throughout the month of June as well. And our goal here is going to be to get you fully up to speed for your fantasy draft. 2QB, 1QB, super flex, tight end premium, whatever you've got going on. We're going to help you dominate your leagues the way that we dominate ours. And the only reason that Cez doesn't win all of his leagues is because he's in a lot of them with me. It's not fair. It's not fair to you. I understand it.
Happens.
Do I take a lot of your money? Yes, I do. But I give it back to you here in the form of doing these other things. It's worth it.
In form of employment.
In the form of employment. So it's worth it. But in Cez, I'm not in your league, listener, watcher. So you're in good shape. Cez isn't in your league, so you can dominate by being sharper than ADP. That's all we're trying to do, and I encourage all of you, draft now. Do best ball leagues now, because ADPs will catch up. Cez said something brilliant before that, you know, Gesicki's going late now, but, you know, as the offseason rolls on and all the people are going to talk him up, and he says, get him now. Get him now. Why? Because right now, you could get that motherfucker 12th, 13th, 14th, right after Gronk goes in ADP. Whereas by the time
3 weeks from now, August, you will not. 4th of July, you will not be able to do that anymore.
The sharpness catches up. The biggest edge in fantasy football, season long, best ball, is now. It's not going to be in August when the ADP has absorbed all this information from a lot of smart people that are, you know, putting out good information and analyzing these things. It's now before. And me and you experience this all the time. We put these shows out very early in the offseason.
On purpose.
Yes. We want to put the pen to the paper. We want to get on record some of these things that we can get ahead of the field with. My goodness, I was drafting. I mean, we talk. There's so many situations. I don't want to go over it, but that's what we're going
over
here.
Think about this. What's going to happen when training camp opens and Tua completes a long pass down the sideline to Gesicki and he catches it over three people? His ADP is going to shoot up three rounds, and it's going to happen.
Those kind of things, that the hype machine, you got to get ahead of the hype. So let's do that. Bold calls every single week, Monday, 11:30. Be here live. Remember to like and subscribe
and comment
this and comment. We love your comments. We need to know that you're watching and listening. Please like and subscribe to the channel. You'll get notified when we go live with these. What do you want to do? You want to enjoy? You want to crush your league? That's what we're here to help with. So let's do it for myself, Kevin Allen, season long says at Allen Seslowski on Twitter and TikTok and all these formats.
Yeah, and on IG and Instagram, Allen Fantasy Football.
All of those things, Allen Fantasy Football on IG. But the best one is TikTok. Watching this guy do dances on TikTok. My kids, they stalk it. They laugh all day. We make fun of it. You can too. Just look it up. And we'll be back next time, guys. Take care, everyone.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block. Helmets, casket is got. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision. We got.